And welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 712. I am your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohort, Eric the Great. Breakman the Bold will join us momentarily. He's obviously having some sort of issues with his computer, and, you know, we'll go on from there. Eric, how you doing, man?
Mostly all right.
All right. Well, I mean, why don't we get like right into it, man? Like, let's go ahead and get into the news here.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you are up.
All right, from RPGsite.net, we've got CD Projekt Red announces the Witcher remake, which is a full remake of the first Witcher game, built in an Unreal Engine 5.
I mean, I know Witcher 3 is really good and all, but is this... did we really ask for this? I mean, honestly, can we just... Could they have started on
which is weird, because I distinctly remember you saying that they weren't going to visit remakes of 1 and 2.
Yeah. Well, I mean, couldn't they just go move on to Witcher 4? I mean, that seems like a better...
They've already got people working on that, apparently.
Oh, well, okay, so they're...
So yay for more crunch and protracted release, or development schedules.
Yeah, I'll wait till it comes out, and about 2-3 years later becomes an actual game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's as much as I have to say about that. And Freak 5 is exiled already. All right, let's move on to... the next story from...
I mean, it probably deserves it over 2, though, because it hasn't aged as gracefully as 2 has, and 2 is kind of janky as hell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they might as well go with 2 right after that, right? Then we'll go... I mean, it seems done. And then by the time they get done with 2, they can do a fucking Witcher 3 remake. You know what I mean? I mean, might as well.
They probably won't remake 2, though. They'll probably just remaster it.
Yeah, maybe.
That'd be even easier to do.
Yeah, well, get CD Projekt, not CD Projekt, Blue Point on it.
Or, like, maybe it would be easier to make a remake of 2 using the engine for the remake.
Freak 5 says, have you seen the classic 1981 movie Caveman? To call it a classic is kind of... I don't know, Freak. But yes, is that the one with Ringo Starr? I think that's the one you're referring to. All right, next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Wolong Fallen Dynasty launches worldwide on March 3rd, 2023. Demo feedback published. So... we've talked about this game for quite a while. It looks gorgeous. I mean, I don't know about gameplay, but I mean, it's going to be another Souls-like, right, Eric? I mean, I hate to use that term because everybody uses it, but...
Well, it's kind of like a weird cross between Sekiro and Nioh.
Yeah, maybe that's a more apt description of it. Freak 5 says, famous line, that's doo-doo. Yes. All right, Eric, next story.
All right. Wizardry Variants Daphne is a free-to-play RPG for mobile devices, and it's set to release in 2023. And Dreadcom and Studio 2 Pro are the people behind this game. And, it's a wizardry game. That's all we really know about it.
Yeah. And it's just a teaser that they're showing here. And there's nothing nothing in this teaser worth watching.
No mention of a Western or global release of any kind.
Yeah. Not really any gameplay, really. I mean,
just proof of concept, mostly.
Yeah. I mean, this looks like an average wizardry game. You know, I mean, ugh. I mean, it looks less than average to me, Eric, to be honest with you, but...
Well, like I said, it's probably just mock-up stuff.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go. All right, next story comes to us also from RPGsite.net. Sword and Fairy, Together Forever, releases for the Xbox Series X, S, and Xbox One on November 3rd. So if you were interested in this game...
No Game Pass?
Does not say anything about Game Pass, Eric. You know, might be one that you have to wait for a sale on, but it does look pretty good, man. I mean, the visuals are very alluring. So, I mean,
if it weren't for all these other releases, I would have picked up the PS5 version already.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're just. I mean, isn't there so much? And then, I mean, as we go in the coming months, I think February is stacked, right, Eric? I mean, it's like release.
Like, I don't think it's going to ease up until April.
Oof, yeah. Unrelenting, man. I mean, you're pretty much just gonna have to pick and choose. I mean, you know, I mean, that's how it goes, man. I mean, you can't pick up everything, right? I mean, unless you win that $800 million on the Powerball, you're not gonna be able to pick up all these games. So, you know, just pick and choose or wait for sales like me. That's pretty much what I do. But this game actually looks pretty cool. It looks very vibrant, very colorful, maybe story driven. So, you know, so there you go. It's like an action RPG more than anything. So I'm looking forward to this. All right, Eric, what you got?
Fallout 4 gets a current gen upgrade. Fallout 4, sorry. Coming in 2023. Obviously, it's PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and Windows PC. So I'm guessing they're just going to add like a 4K texture mod plus optimizations for the PC release.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad. Because, I mean...
And the update also allowed for 120 hertz.
I wish Brake was here because he loves Fallout 4. I think that's his favorite... One of his favorite games, if not his favorite game.
All the people that really loved 3 and Vegas, New Vegas...
Yeah.
Didn't like 4 as much because it feels stale and sterile in comparison to the other two games.
I think Brake really liked it, though. I think this is one of his favorite games.
But I think that must really depend on whether or not you are so addicted to Fallout that you want more of the same anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I never...
But I think the problem with them is just they wanted something a little bit more original in terms of the narrative, and there it wasn't really.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Well, I mean, it's not a huge...
Or memorable characters.
Yeah, well, that's... You know, you could... Actually, that there is something to be said about that, because even if you have a... You know, if you have a game that has some redeeming characters, that a lot of times can save your game.
I don't know why they decided to do this over doing a remaster for consoles of Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition.
I don't know.
Well, the best you could do with that so far is playing the 360 version that has the FPS boost feature on your Xbox consoles, on the newer Xbox consoles, or the Xbox One X.
They mention anything about frame rate at all? Because I didn't see anything in this story.
120 hertz.
Wow, okay. All right, well, that's
cool. I'm sure the game already plays at 60.
If it plays at 60, that's good enough.
You know? I mean, I don't think the PS4 and base Xbox One versions do, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a PS5 and an Xbox X, so, you know, if they give me, 60 frames at 4K, I'll take it. You know what I mean? That'd be pretty fun to go back and
play Fallout. I'm guessing they can't just not do a PS5 version of Fallout 4, because...
Right,
it's a game that already exists on that platform, so they might as well make a new version of it on that platform.
Yeah, I think they are doing that. They are giving it. It says PlayStation 5 too, so that's cool. I mean, at least that's nice. You know, they could have shunned the PS5
altogether. I mean, but that's kind of what Arkane did when it came to the PS4 version of Prey. They didn't do a next gen update for it, and it's got all technical issues that still exist on that version.
Yeah, yeah. Good thing I got Prey on the Xbox. I got it on the Xbox One. I wonder if they're ever... Did they do an upgrade?
Yeah.
For the Xbox? Okay, good.
I don't know if they did upgrades, but they did optimization patches.
Ah, okay. Well, I'll take it. That's fine. All right, and the last story here, coming to us from RPGsite.net again. Come on now. Let's get there. There we go. Loop 8, Summer of Gods, launches March 16th, 2023 in Japan. PC version set for March 21st. And then they have a second trailer, which is being uncooperative now. I have not seen this particular trailer, but I'm looking at it now. And it's a visual novel, right, Eric?
I think it's... Let's see.
Yeah. It looks like a... yeah. Maybe...
It looks more like an adventure game.
Yeah, maybe an adventure slash...
Adventure game with RPG battle system.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. All right. It looks okay. I mean, very basic, but might be fun. I don't know what the story is or anything like that.
It's technically a sequel to another game.
Summer of Gods, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, there you go. That is all of the news, and Brake is still furiously trying to get his laptop in order, so hopefully he'll get on here real soon. But
yeah, the thing with Fallout 3 on the Xbox One via FPS boost, the only thing that'll do is give you FPS boost. It's still playing at the low resolution it released at, and so it's stuck at 720p.
Yeah.
So I'd be better off playing Fallout 3 and New Vegas on my Steam Deck.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if we have any Dear Breakman yet until Breakman gets on in here. So why? Oh, do you know of any homie discounts, Eric?
Not really.
Halloween sale's pretty good on PlayStation. I know.
All the Resident Evil games are on sale on Steam too.
Yeah, most of the Resident Evil games are on sale on the PlayStation.
And I think NIS still has like sale going on that lasts until the end of the month too.
You can pick up Evil Within for less than $5. You can pick up Evil Within 2, I saw, for $5 as well. So that's a great deal on those games. Pick those games up if you haven't already. Very underrated games. Alien Isolation is on sale. I mean, they have a lot in the Halloween sale. It's too much to go over. But you would definitely be wise to go in there and pick up some of those games for even $5 or less. I mean, you know, they got a variety of games in there, but pretty good nonetheless. So, all right. Let's move on to...
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Eric.
Not Bayonetta at 3 because I haven't had time to play it at all today because I decided to watch Morbius instead.
Oh boy, yeah.
But maybe over the weekend, I might take a break from Persona 5 just to play that in Yomiuri.
Yeah.
Other than that, Yomiuri Lost in the Dark and Persona 5 of what I've been playing.
Yomiuri and Persona 5. How's Persona 5? You're playing it on the Xbox, right?
Yeah.
How is it on the Xbox?
It's fine. I mean, it's a game that doesn't need to be in 60 FPS, and it makes some animations look weird because it's suddenly too fast sometimes.
Ooh.
But otherwise it's smooth. So, you know, it's not the kind of game that you have to worry about.
Right.
The increase in frame... meaning bad frame pacing, which means screen tearing, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. The PlayStation 5 version's pretty good too, right? I mean, it's not bad. Let me see if we can get Brake in here. In just a second. You beat it on the PS5, right, Eric?
No, PS4.
Oh, PS4. How was the PS4 version? PS4 Pro, obviously, right?
No, I never had a Pro.
Does it work okay on the non-Pro?
Yeah, but the game does load faster on the newer generation consoles.
Yeah.
Like, the load times are pretty much non-existent now.
Gotcha.
There's only an initial boot that you get when you get the logo parade.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Alright, we're trying to call Breakman now. Let's hope that we can get him on the line. Breakman, do we have
that was something that was hard-coded in the original game, though. Yeah. So they can't really fix that.
Yeah. Breakman, do we have you?
I'm still struggling with my computer, so I just said, fuck it, and I'm calling you on my phone. I hope it doesn't sound like shit.
No, you sound great, man. You sound okay.
I'm going to fuck with this PC while I'm talking to you.
Okay, no worries. No
fuck
worries.
You. Fuck you, man. Fuck you.
You know what, man? When we finally raise you enough money for a new laptop, we want a video of you like throwing it off like a very high place. You know what I'm saying? All the years of BS we dealt with that fucking computer, man. We're gonna get you there, man. We're gonna get you a new computer, and then we're gonna have a not so funeral. You know what I mean?
Well, HP sounds for heaping pile.
Yes.
You can get the rest of it. But.
Yeah. I mean, I was dealing with Bridget's heaping pile of shit earlier. So, yeah, I feel you, man. Although, is yours HP, or what is yours, Bernie?
Yeah, HP. That's what it stands for.
Heaping pile. No, it's HP zero, because it's basically zero.
I think hers is a Dell, but even that's a piece of shit, man. It fucking blows. The best thing about Bernie's laptop is her case, which has some zombies on it.
And my stickers.
And her stickers. Yes, it's a Dell, and it's another... Whatever acronym you want to put for Dell is like...
Poop.
Yeah, piece of shit is what it is. But yeah, Windows in general is, you know... I mean, that's how I feel about Windows, pretty much. But we did get through all of the news, Breakman. Did you have a dear Breakman this week?
Just that that tweet from Freak about that thing he sent to you.
Oh yeah, yes. Okay. I have to
trying to find it. Might be as old. So Frank Francis might not be as old as we think he is. Is he only 500 billion years old and not the many times older than he appears to be? Because apparently smoking weed makes you look older.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a proven thing. I mean, smoke in general, right? Like, I mean, it does form you, you know. But I'm actually youthful looking for how old I am. So screw you, Freak Five, you son of a bitch. is that a second exile? No, I'm not even going to dignify that with an exile. So, all right, Breakman, what have you been playing?
Not much, because I've been busy. I've been playing more of Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
It's still fun when the game doesn't crash every other game.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. But still, it's you know, you get to be Jason. It's a lot of fun hunting down the campers.
Yeah.
Little bastards.
I bet you're going to have a good time with the new Texas Chainsaw game, man, because that's looking really, really good.
Yeah, I want to play the new Ghostbusters game because it's in the similar vein that that one versus everybody, like somebody gets to play the ghost and everybody else gets to play the Ghostbusters.
Oh, but, shit, that's cool. Yeah, that would be cool, too.
Are ghosts able to teabag? Because, you know, you think they wouldn't be able to.
I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. But yeah, I like that one person gets to be like the bad guy and everybody else gets to be the good guys kind of thing. It's a lot of fun, I think, personally. Yeah. And then more Smash Brothers. I'm thinking like two-thirds of the way through that at this point. I've probably got less than 200 fights left, I imagine.
Wow. Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's just from like watching football and, you know, in between plays, get a quick game in, commercial break, quick game in.
At least you have something to look forward to with your team this year, Break, man. My team is just sucking. It's the most disappointing team in the entire league, I think. And
I think Russell Wilson's hurt, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a torn up shoulder, torn up knee. Like, I mean, I think they should just shut him down the rest of the way. Just let him heal and come back next year. This is a lost year anyways, man. But he's playing this week, so of course he's going to get injured even worse. And, you know, you know what I mean. Like, it's just one of those years. Every single good player on our team, they might as well just trade Bradley Chubb, Jerry Jeudy, you know, just do it all, man. Trade, get more picks, and reload next year, you know? Fuck it. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at with this season. Totally disappointing, you know?
Yeah, I get you. Our season started off disappointing too, but it was like I said in that first, my first complaint, like, there was bad coaching and, you know, just not being ready, like, not it, with the lack of
preseason. Having
starters in the preseason, they just weren't ready for the beginning of the season.
Same here. The same thing. You know, but at least your team is like, okay, now we're ready. Mine is like, yeah. Are we playing? You know, it's like, so bad, man. So bad.
Been there. There have been many of Sundays I've watched, like, they knew there was a game today, right?
Right, right. Well, you got a quarterback now that you're not going to have to worry about that for 10 years, man. He's
no.
I'm really, really high on Joe Burrow, man. I think he's fantastic, man. But I also think Russell Wilson's really good, too. Just,
yeah,
man.
Yes. I guarantee you once he's healed, he'll be better. But they're not going to give him a chance to heal this year.
No, and that's what's going to suck. Next year's the year. If it doesn't happen next year, it's never going to happen. You know what I mean? I mean, it's I'm resigned to it. But anyways, let's I've been playing Titanfall 2. So that's what I've been playing. You didn't beat Alien Isolation this week, Break?
I didn't even play it. I didn't have a lot of time.
Okay.
It was either play video games or watch some movies, and I watched some movies.
So. Yeah, yeah. Okay, speaking of, let's do some reviews.
RP Grinders, reviews.
All right, Break, any reviews that you have?
Yeah, I've actually got a few here. I'm going to go ahead and go with the one that's not horror-related, because the rest of them are horror.
And yes, whores! Sweet.
I know. Love talking about horse. This actually comes from a recommendation from one of our listeners, because I wasn't going to watch it, but as I was trying to... I'm binging HBO Max shows as much as I can, get through them in the movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there was one that I just kind of looked at, and I'm like, nah, I'll just pass it up. But I think it was like a few weeks ago, Freak said he'd seen it in a few weeks, maybe in a few months or something. He'd seen it, and he was like, he was raving about it in chat, and I'm like, oh, okay. Which... So I was looking at it, and I'm like, oh, okay. And Freak, I gotta say, like, just what the... Why?
What movie are you talking about, man?
Why didn't you tell me about DC League of Super Pets sooner?
You didn't know about Super Pets?
There was a thing that was known. How did you miss it?
I know, how did you miss that?
No, but it was actually good, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you. Like an actual good movie, yeah.
Yeah, it may be the best 3D movie I've seen in a very long time.
3D? You mean like CG?
3D animation.
CG, oh, I got you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
I thought you bought like a special TV or something to watch
it. I know. I was like, you got a 3D TV, dude?
Yeah, whatever. But it was a lot better than I expected. Dwayne Johnson did a fine voice acting performance, and the story was really witty and heartwarming at times, too.
And depending on how much lore you understand about DC, some people were upset that certain pets weren't represented.
Oh, Lord.
You know, like the cats, mainly.
Well, there's always haters. Well, but they did that because they wanted to have that one, like, have the kitten. And that kitten was pretty fucking awesome. I love that kitten.
I wanted Killer Croc to show up at some point, but, you know, whatever.
What would his pet be?
Huh? I don't know. Like a tadpole or something? Like, frog? I don't know. You know, something like that. All right. So, tell us about this movie, Break.
So, anyway, the movie plot of this movie is revolves around Krypto, Superman's dog, and you know, he's grown up with Superman, and he's his best friend, and he's quite arrogant and attached to Superman, overprotectively so. And the story is a lot about him meeting new friends and gaining respect for other people, and, you know, growing as a dog and best friend, but just it was just really well done, I thought. And heartfelt connections, especially the end with all the animals that were once homeless finding love, finally finding homes.
It's one of those movies, you know, like dog. Yeah.
One of those movies you can watch like the whole family and stuff, that, you know.
Yeah.
But I was gonna. What else did I want to say about it? I guess that's enough. It was good. I really liked it. I say about 8.5, I think.
All right, that's fair. That's good. All right. What else you got?
Best CGI movie I've seen in a long time, I think. Because I really can't think of another good one that I've seen. Whereas this one had me laughing and rooting for the hero, you know, type stuff. And just it's really good. Oh. And, oh, just when my PC looked like it was getting somewhere.
Poor PC.
Yeah, spent this weekend watching some zombie movies, actually.
Ooh, okay. What you got?
One that I've never seen completely. I'd seen, like, bits and pieces of it, and I kind of always wanted to see it, and I'm just like, oh, let's watch it.
Yeah.
It's George Romero's very first zombie movie.
Night of the Living Dead. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Where he's referred to them as ghouls, and Mrs. Brakeman, she walks by with a thumbs up. And this movie holds up very fucking well.
Yeah, doesn't it? All right.
It has editing problems and the like keeping the fights off of the screen, just like all the 70s and, I mean, 60s and 50s movies type stuff.
Yeah.
But he still was able to, like, kind of push the limits of what you saw back then.
Yeah.
But the story itself, it was a gut punch after gut punch after gut punch. It held up so well.
Yeah. I actually like the 90 remake, the one that Tom Savini directed, too. It was actually, I mean, it was almost a, not quite a shot-for-shot remake break, but I liked it, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's a classic, right? Night of the Living Dead is one of those movies that I think they already have it in the archives, right? Like one of the films, like seminal films that'll always be preserved and stuff. And it really should be, because it did something that no movie really did back in those days. It had a black protagonist. Yeah. And which, I mean, this is a 60s movie, right? I think it came out, what, 68? I could be wrong. But holy shit, like, what a great way to, like, open the floodgates, you know, so to speak. And it also had social commentary, even though I don't think George Romero ever thought of that movie as being a take on social commentary, at least not that particular movie.
I think it was because, like Mrs. Brakeman just said, like, George Romero hired him because he was the best actor.
He was the best actor, yes.
It had to do with the color of his skin, so right. I don't think George Romero was thinking about that when he made it,
right?
Honestly.
Right.
But he made a huge statement on it inadvertently, and it was very impactful.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, to hire a black lead actor like that back in the day as a white director, unheard of. So, I mean, just all around, just a great movie, man. And one that's going to go down as one of the greatest movies ever created, in my opinion. You know, I mean, a lot of people talk about Nosferatu, but can you think of a movie between, you know, other than the Universal Studios monster movies, between Nosferatu and Night of the Living Dead that had a deep, deep impact to this day? You know what I mean? As far as, like, social commentary.
Yeah. I mean, George Romero changed what zombies were. We wouldn't have any of the stuff today if Night of the Living Dead never happened.
Yeah.
Like, Walking Dead would not exist today.
Right. And I'm really happy that I never knew that you didn't see it, but I'm glad you got to see it all the way through break. So
it's really great movie. I give it a 10.
Yeah, it's
like you said.
Yeah,
it's great. A legendary movie, and it just thinking about all the movies that have come because of this since, like, we wouldn't have had so many other movies without Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, I highly recommend watching Tom Savini's remake too, man, because Savini kind of takes the gore level up a notch, so it adds, like, a new layer to the movie. I mean, it doesn't do anything new, per se, but just with the new, like, the colorized vision of it, and then, you know, you got the added, the Tom Savini touch, as it were. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. I'll see what it's on, if it's something on something that I have. But so anyways, speaking of movies that would not exist if it was not for Night of the Living Dead, this was a British movie that came out, and I actually saw this in theaters, but Mrs. Brakeman hadn't seen it, so I was introducing it to her. a new type of zombie back in the early 2000s. Not really, and like the Night of the Living Dead, not really like the zombies. In fact, he called them ghouls in Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this, they're not really zombies either. They're actually people infected with a virus, the Rage virus.
Yeah, you're talking about 28 days later, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
A movie I fucking love.
Yes, it's a great movie.
It holds up too very well, I think. Did you like it? She liked it too.
Yeah, yeah.
28 days later, I never even talked about the story of Night of the Living Dead, did I?
No, not really. I mean, but I think people pretty much get the gist, man. A group of motley people get trapped in a farmhouse surrounded by the living dead. You know, I mean, that's pretty much
just
it.
Just try to escape and try to live.
Yep, yep. Survival They're story.
Here, you say it. Okay, don't say it to me. Yeah. Oh, what? My computer's starting to... Oh, we're getting Skype. Skype's starting to booting on my computer, really?
Wow. Ooh, wow. It's starting to boot. Wow. It's only about, 40 minutes late, Breakman, you know? I mean...
So anyway, the story of this one, story starts out similar to The Walking Dead, and this movie actually happened before The Walking Dead. A guy wakes up from a coma in a hospital, and it's fucking deserted, you know? No, he has no idea what's going on, and it's because the virus is... you know, has escaped, and instead of killing people and turning them into rotten corpses, it infuriates them until they run out, basically, until they burn out and die.
Mm-hmm.
So they are basically, they're faster, they're angrier, they're meaner and stronger than any of the zombies of previous movies.
Yeah.
What's that?
Really fast.
They turn really fast. Yeah, they're really fast. Like,
yeah,
like super rabies, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And like even one drop of blood, if it gets anywhere, like in your eye or anything, you're pretty much effed. You know, so it's kind of accurate in that way. I mean, a lot of times, Walking Dead, like you'll have like a scene where somebody's chainsawing or slicing through zombies, and they get blood all over their face and eyes and mouth and. You know, nothing happens, but this one is a little bit different. You get even one drop in your eye, and you're, you know, that's it.
It always bothers me, and it happens almost in every zombie movie, when they go, like, up toe-to-toe with them, and the zombies are, like, swinging their hands around and stuff. How they don't get scratched, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They always, have you been bitten or scratched? Have you ever seen in any zombie movie somebody get scratched?
Didn't Walking Dead Carl get scratched, or did he get bit?
He got bit.
I thought he got scratched. Never mind.
But it's very rare somebody ever gets scratched, even though getting scratched should be something that happens. I mean, fingernails will scratch people, and
right.
If their bones are sticking out or something, that's going to scratch you, you know?
I guess the later on you go in like a scenario like Walking Dead, like nails do fall off and... You know what I mean? Like, so it would be less and less likely. But I agree with you, man. Scratching. Freak says, have you seen Night of the Living Dead 3D with Sid Haig? I did, and I didn't like it, Freak 5. I thought it was a terrible rendition of Night of the Living Dead, but whatever. Continue on, Break.
Okay, so this one is basically a rage monster, and this one, again, is people trying to survive. And instead of being holed up in one spot, this is the Scarecrow going on a basically meeting people as he's traveling, trying to. I think he's going home originally, but then I forget where he was going. I forget what the. Oh, there was a military base. That's right. They were trying to get to a military base,
Which is never a good idea in a zombie apocalypse. By the way, never.
Well, one thing that I really like about this is. In most zombie movies, like they die and then you don't know. They'll either turn right away or maybe they'll wait a little bit and for when it's convenient. With the Rage virus, it's like 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's instantaneous almost. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
There's no question. Once you get blooded, you're on.
Oh, it's good. I like the sequel too. Not as much as I liked it.
Later.
Yeah.
Speaking of the sequel of this movie, that I give a 9.
Yeah.
28 Days Later, because it's a freaking awesome movie. It's a
pretty great movie, man. No doubt.
The sequel to 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, I hadn't seen the sequel.
Oh, it's good. I liked it, man.
Is that streaming anywhere?
No, yeah. I said hadn't. different until I watched it the other day.
Yes. My next. Oh, that's your next one. Nice transition.
Is it streaming?
So 28 weeks later, happens, yes, it is. As the title says, 28 weeks later. What happened was the entire country of England, of Britain, was basically quarantined because of the Rage virus. It broke out and it destroyed the city. Whoever didn't get out was, infected or whatever, or dead, pretty much. So in that time, they've, wiped it out. They've cleaned up the city and they started rebuilding. And they started rebuilding the country, and in a 6-month period we have, which is way too soon, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, if this ever happens in real life, let's at least wait like a couple of years before we.
Maybe the movie was commentary on how, future commentary on how the U.S. dealt with the coronavirus.
No, you know what? There's something to be said about that, Eric. I'll explain that when break finishes.
He isn't wrong. You're not wrong, Frank, at all. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking that as I was watching the movie, like, goddamn.
They're so quick to return to their deluded idea of normalcy that they'll do anything.
Yeah.
So, it actually starts at the beginning of the pop, sort of somewhere early on in the Rage. Is there, we have a guy and his wife stuck in a cottage with some other people they meet randomly. And, the Rage monsters get in and pretty much kill everybody except for him. And instead of helping his wife, he abandons her.
Yes. He's one of the most loathsome characters in any movie, period, man.
I've never seen that really in a movie before. Like, the guy, blatantly abandoned his family member like that. Like,
yeah. God damn. He runs the other way. He's like, fuck this, I'm out. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
I was looking for an excuse for a divorce anyway.
I was going to divorce your ass next week anyways, bitch. So
and then he tells the kids, like, oh, yeah, I saw her getting bit, and she's dead, and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, so not only does he do that, but he fucking lies to his kids, man. He's like one of the most worthless dudes ever, man. He's, like, so worthless.
So where things get interesting is the kids who are, as I said, they're bringing people back in. They want to start back in normalcy and make Britain home again, even though it just survived an apocalypse level event, whatever. Anyway, so a guy's bringing his family in, so he brings his kids in. Two kids who should be nowhere near this. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is the first thing they do is they break out and they go searching for their old home. because kids are going to do shit like that.
Right.
In their own home, they discover that their mother, in fact, survived.
Yeah.
And that's where things turn interesting, because it turns out she is immune to the virus. But she is a carrier of it.
Yeah.
So the virus that they thought was destroyed is living well in this one woman. And, obviously this is a movie, and even, in real life I think it would happen too at this point, the way stupid fuckers are. Mm-hmm. The virus gets free, obviously.
Yep.
And then it turns into, escape for the kids trying to escape. The first one infected by the virus is the asshole father himself.
He becomes patient zero on the second wave. It's funny, man. Like, it's very ironic, man. Yeah, it's pretty good. So what are you giving this one, Break?
It's not as good as the first one, like you said, but it is. I like the ending to this one. The first one had, like, that had a happy ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, the hero, and I don't want to get any more away, but it had a happy ending. This one has an ominous, kind of ending. Like, there should be a 28 months later movie coming soon, something,
They've been talking about that for years, a 28 months later, and we still don't have it, man.
I think that would be the movie that World War Z wanted to be. Like, they're super zombies just fucking bother me. Like, it's just like that. Those aren't zombies. You kill them zombies, like, they're like fucking superheroes.
Well, actually, if they would have did it a little bit different, not made them quite as aggressive and not quite as fast, it would have made sense, because they were like acting like a hive mind type thing. Like they were, how like ants like to survive. A bunch of ants will sacrifice to make rafts on water. That's what those zombies were supposed to be like, but it looked goofy on screen. You know what I mean? This looks really good.
They made him like powerful. Like the rage virus doesn't make you stronger than you are. You know, it doesn't make people stronger. It just it sends them into an absolute fury, and they go full strength at all point, all times.
Right, you know? Right.
Whereas, like, the World War Z zombies, it's like, oh, suddenly they can fly and shit. they're jumping so high, it's like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
But, anyways, like I said, I think that movie would be better than the World War Z movie. But some of the problems I had with this movie, there was a lot of shaky cam. I hate that shit.
Yeah, I do too,
like,
man.
You can't see what's going on, like, and then it's like...
Oh, that era was full of that crap, though.
Well, the first one didn't do that. Mm-mm. Why did they do the second one?
Well, that was the trend going around at the time. Like, if you remember Break, like, that's after Blair Witch came out, and, you know, a bunch of those found footage type movies. So
there are a few movies I can excuse it from before when they're shown from, like, that perspective, like Cloverfield. Like,
it's done from
the perspective of a guy holding a camcorder. Yeah. Or Hardcore Henry. You're going from the dude's perspective, you know?
Yeah.
But this, like, the cameraman was juggling the camera. Like, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
It's like watching fight scenes in the dark, you know? Like, why are you doing this fight scene like this? Or Michael Bay Transformers fight scene, you know? Mm. Like, it's going so fast. Like, why'd you spend all this millions of dollars to make something we can't even see?
Doesn't make any sense.
But still, it was a lot of fun. Still a good movie, and I recommend it. Not as much as the original. Like I said, I really love the original. I think this is about a 7 for the sequel.
Hmm. I think I'd give it an 8, man. I thought it was a great follow up. But I agree with your quote unquote nitpicks of the movie for sure.
So those are that's what I've seen. I've been watching a lot of dead people running in.
Anything else, Break?
No. I watched some Walking Dead episodes, but we don't even talk about that. So that's about it.
Right.
It's been all me, except for Super Pets. It's been all zombies.
Is that your favorite genre, Break? Like of horror movies, like zombie movies?
Yeah, I think it is.
All right, Eric, you have.
My favorite horror movies are the Evil Dead trilogy, but yeah, I think zombies probably like...
That almost counts. I mean, Deadites are almost, like, I guess they're like possessed zombies, you know? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
But, alright. Alright, Eric, you are up.
So I watched the latest Minions film, Minions Rise of Gru, and I'd say it's actually probably the best out of all the Despicable Me movies. Especially considering this is a spinoff of the Minions, which was just okay.
But, 10 minutes of one of those movies and was so fucking bored. Yeah. The movies.
I don't disagree, Break, at all.
But it follows the ending of that movie where Gru is being pestered by the Minions and he finally took them in, and now that he's being accepted to the Villain League or whatever it's called in this movie, I think they took him on based on an error because they thought he was an adult because they make fun of him being a kid when he goes in. And before that all happens, though, they cut to an earlier point in time where the Villain League was pulling off a heist to get this diamond to rule the world or whatever. And they kicked out the founder and he's left for dead, but you find out later that he survived. And anyways, Gru wants to get revenge and... they're chasing him because he stole the medallion from underneath their noses to prove how good he was. But that guy, the Wild Knuckles, is going after him because he wants it for himself because he wants revenge on those people. So he gets kidnapped, and over that period of time, he decides maybe he can like train this kid. And so they have a camaraderie and stuff happens. And Michelle Yao shows up doing a voice acting role for the character she plays in the movie that teaches some of the Minions some kung fu techniques that come into play later. And it's a typical kids movie, but I think it was a bit more entertaining than any of the other Despicable Me movies have been so far. So I'm giving this a 7.
Yeah. All right, yeah, I think I agree with the other I hated the Minions movies. I mean, I know they're cute for kids and kids love it, but
I think it's because it's less about the Minions and it's more about Gru. That's why I like it more.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I mean, you can do something like League of Super Pets is a cute kids movie, but it's they made it so well. It's also, I think, adults can enjoy it too. Like, parents can sit there and watch it with their kids.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, the next movie I'm going to review is The Bad Guys, which is about a group of anthropomorphic animals, furries, that are a group of thieves, basically. And they're kind of, like, over the hill, but they're still apparently well-known. It's kind of like that. It's not true of every character in the movie, but, like, some of the characters that are, like, more rounded kind of have that Steven Universe look to them. So that was interesting. Anyways, they try pulling off a heist. It goes south. They get a chance at redemption, so they try to pull off another heist, and he decides he wants to be good, and he doesn't go through with it, and things go south again. And they get all... they basically escape that situation, but they basically break up. And he finds out that the person who was trying to reform them was actually just trying to use them to do his own heist. Stealing his the money from his own charity to use for whatever ends he has. He doesn't really specify what he's going to do with the money. Other than maybe just for the fame of it all. But it's an okay movie. I liked it a little bit more than the Gru movie, so I'm giving it 7.5.
All right, fair enough. All right, what else you got for us, Eric?
I also watched Morbius, which, oh boy. it is one of those movies that you have to wonder if it's really as bad as people say, and yes, it really is. No, it's actually worse than what people say. Because nothing can compare you for how terrible it is.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know how I reviewed Ghost Rider? I'm going to start at 0 and give it a negative score.
Oh, wow, this is a first. Wow, okay.
No, we'll start at 1. How is that?
Okay,
and let's start. Right. And most of the demerits are going to be like a half a point each.
Wow. But, okay.
First of all, the video image quality is terrible. I don't know what they were thinking when they made this movie, because it kind of looks like there's permanent film grain, and it's way too thick. Because this is supposed to be a 4K movie on Netflix that I'm watching. It does not feel like it.
Yeah,
and a lot of the colors are also muted, and the special effects are interesting, but I feel like they could have done a lot more with it for as expensive the movie was. And obviously Jared Leto can't fucking act.
And well, I don't understand.
But neither can anybody else in this movie.
He's actually a good actor, Eric. It just depends on the role, you know.
But he keeps getting roles that he can't. He gets bad directors, I guess. He's cursed to not do good work.
I've just never personally been like drawn to Morbius as a character.
I have. I was a big comic guy for Morbius. Man, he's badass.
And you know you're talking about the Michael Bay action where you can't tell the fuck's happening?
Yes.
Spider-Man characters next to... I mean, well, they did...
This is in addition to the color being muted and not being able to see what characters are doing because of the muted colors.
Yeah.
So it's muted colors, bad action, bad editing, bad acting, a plot that has a mirror mode match of sorts because Morbius takes the blood in of the vampire bats into his own bloodstream and then mutates. And suddenly, and the bad guy gets a copy of it, so he becomes like Morbius, and he has to deal with him now. And And so it's almost the same plot as Venom, if you really think about it, because this is the other movie Sony did. And they even made lines about, it's like, somebody asked who Michael Morbius was, and he says, "I am Venom," and he says, "Just kidding." It's like, I don't even think they're even supposed to be in the same universe, because at the end of the movie, there's a stinger. They're doing that Marvel thing where they show you, like, oh, maybe we're doing something else. And the Vulture shows up, and he talks about how they're both here because of Spider-Man. But Venom's taking place in an alternate universe, so how is that a thing?
Well, they're going to do a Sinister Six movie. And they kind of split it off.
Yeah, but like, how does Morbius know about the Venom if that's taking place somewhere else entirely?
Well, there's multiple Spider-Mans. I'm sure there's multiple Morbiuses, multiple Venoms.
Stuff like that. It gets confusing for the viewers, I'm sure.
Yeah, Sony does not. I mean, you know what Sony should do? Just let Marvel handle it. You can say what you want.
I'm worried about Kraven now, but I'm also curious.
you can say what you want about Marvel movies and how they're formulaic and all this, but they know what they're doing with their universe. They have a specific vision, right?
So, and based off all those demerits, it's a -4 out of 5.
So, as a -4, is this kind of movie, if you get really hammered, will it be hilarious?
I think it's just not even, wow.
Yeah. It's so terminally boring. I spent most of my time looking at Twitter than watching the film.
Wow. And you know what? That's saying something for Eric, because
I can pay attention to the movie. I normally can't and won't multitask while watching a film. But this movie I was able to because so little was going on.
Yeah, yeah. I heard the same thing about Morbius.
At least it's only an hour and 45 minutes instead of the 3-hour slog fest that we get nowadays.
I used to love Morbius, Breakman. It was a good comic. Like there was a lot going on with that comic. And it was more mature, you know. It was holy shit, it's a horror character, you know, the living vampire. You know, type thing, but man, they fucked it up, man. I mean, they did Marvel did a good job with Werewolf by Night, which is another great Marvel character that not a lot of people know. But Morbius, man, Sony doesn't know what they're doing with their movie. I think Venom is overrated too. By the way, I know it was hugely successful at the box office, and I did like Tom Hardy's performance, but. I don't know. It just as what Venom is in the comics, like it doesn't strike me as like having anything to do with the comics, which I think is a misstep.
Sony, just as much as I'd hate Disney to have more Marvel properties, just give it to them because at least they'll make it somewhat palatable.
Yeah.
The problem with Sony's got nobody like in control. Like there's nobody like Kevin Feige, is that the guy's name?
Feige
looking at it and saying, hey, we shouldn't do this and this, like we can connect them or we should, you know, maybe have the story closer to a comic and maybe this director shouldn't be involved.
Maybe we should interconnect them like this, you know. Yeah. I agree with Eric. I actually think they should, like, all the Marvel characters should be under the Disney umbrella just because, like I said, at least their structure and they do follow the comics to a point. I was a little disappointed in the way that Thanos got the gems because it's completely different with completely different characters in Thanos Quest. But
well, with all this multiverse stuff going on, Disney actually has the excuse where they could actually probably bring back the old Thor for Thanos.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. But I agree. I think that Disney, like I said, like it's very formulaic, and you know that's the deal. But
hell, they could probably even reboot Iron Man if they wanted to.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they will eventually because you know.
I mean, there's going to be an Iron Man 4, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with that. Are they going to make the current Iron Man, the comics, the girl.
Iron Man. They're gonna make Riri Williams the new Iron Man, and she's actually called Ironheart. So it might be called something like Iron Man Ironheart or something, you know, something like that. And it would make sense because that's how it kind of is in the comics. I mean, eventually you have to come up with new characters, but what better way to like continue, you know, kind of along the same lines with characters that have their own personalities, but also carry the Iron Man torch type thing.
And with the next Thor movie, I wonder if it's going to be a Mighty Thor movie or if it's going to be a Helmsworth movie.
I don't know. I think it's going to be Thor for sure.
I mean, because like, because of things that happen in that movie, it's like, yeah, but they could always bring characters back if they wanted to, come up with a reason for it.
Of course, they do it in the comics all the time. I think that would be the most comic book thing to do. Bring back Robert Downey Jr. You know, why not? You know, let's do it. What were you saying, Breakman? I think I cut you off.
What's that?
Oh, all right.
Oh yeah, has Break seen Love and Thunder yet?
Oh, have not you? Yet. Oh, okay, yeah. All right, I'm going to go on to my reviews.
All my superheroes lately have been DC. Like I said, I'm watching for the HBO Max.
I might just watch Wakanda Forever once it hits Disney Plus a month later, I don't know. I just don't feel like going to theaters for movies anymore. Really,
yeah.
I'm probably going to see Black Adam because I need time to kill before One Piece film Red airs. So I might see that next week. Yeah.
Depending on who you ask, it's an awesome movie, or
it totally sucks. Yeah. There's no in between on that movie. I mean, I would lean on more towards it's awesome because The Rock is pretty cool, you know. So, but I haven't seen it.
Because he's in it doesn't mean it's going to be good,
right? Right.
And I think they probably go like the anti-hero Adam, you know. Whereas I prefer like he is an anti-hero, but I prefer when he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
That hero.
Yeah.
I prefer him as a villain. Whatever.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let me quickly go through my I think that's an all-time low, -4 for Morbius from Eric there. So
no, it was -5 for Ghost Rider. So
okay, my bad. -5 for Ghost Rider. I'm going to review the first movie. I mean, it is Halloween season, so I took a chance on a fan-made movie that actually got a decent budget in the Patreon, so I was a little curious. Bernie wanted to support it, but for various reasons, we never got around to putting our names on the executive producer list of this movie, but the movie I'm reviewing is called Sawyer Family Massacre, and it basically is a true prequel to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, even though it's unsanctioned. let me start with the good. Let's just put it this way. a lot of heart was put into this movie. Some of the acting performances weren't bad. It basically dealt with, an incident that happened before the actual Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which basically, I mean, if you just run it back, it's just, more people getting killed, you know, type scenario. They tried to do character development, but the writing was so bad. The actors had nothing to work with, and there's a reason why, you know, big budget movies are big budget movies, because they pay people good money to write and come up with scripts. I mean, I'm writing a script right now, and it's extremely difficult. I'm going to be forthright with everybody and tell you that when I shoot this movie that I'm writing a script for, it's probably going to suck, but I know that the heart is going to be involved, and I know that there are at least a few moments that people will come out of watching the movie and saying, I'll give people some things to think about, right? This movie gives me nothing to think about other than writing is paramount. So, I'm not gonna do the Eric treatment on this movie. It's not gonna get a negative score because I would never give an independent.
I did the negative score purely for fun.
Yeah, I know.
The real score is more like 3.
Yeah, I'm not gonna give this movie. How can I put this? Like, I'm never gonna bash somebody for producing and filming an independent movie because it's extremely difficult. I mean, the The amount of dedication it takes to make a movie is insane, right? But that being said, you know, like I said, some of the actors were okay, but the majority were not. You could tell who's going to probably go on to bigger and better careers. You can also tell who should never be in films again. The director was just okay. I could tell he was trying his best with what he had. The editing sucked. Some of the camera angles suck. Like, there's just so much that goes into making a movie that you don't even realize. Even a shitty high budget movie, you can tell like where the money was spent. This movie, oof. I'm not recommending it at all. I think it's also a 3 out of 10. Like I said, it had some decent kills. But a lot of what made Texas Chainsaw Massacre good is not in this movie. So I wouldn't avoid it at all costs, but this is the type of movie that if it came on, like, maybe if you're like an insomniac and you have nothing else to watch and it's like on, then go ahead and give it a watch. Like Bernie says in chat, Leatherface was pretty good. But other than that, no bueno. So 3 out of 10. For Sawyer Family Massacre, which you can see for free with uninterrupted on YouTube. It's so bad it made me sneeze.
On what?
On YouTube. Yeah, there you go. I didn't do a full review of Beavis and Butthead. I'm not going to do a full review here because Eric still hasn't seen it. What's wrong with you, Eric? I think this is a must-watch. The new season.
I've been playing Persona 5, and it's eaten up all my time.
Yeah, this season was just fantastic, and it culminated with one of the greatest segments I've ever seen in Beavis and Butthead ever. The ghosted show on MTV was roasted by Beavis and Butthead in the most spectacular fashion, and was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. No hyperbole. It is. I've been watching it at least once a day. Bernie can tell you for the past like week and a half or week. It's been. It's just awesome. So, it's a can't miss event for sure. I'll read your Stinko in a minute, Freak 5, when we get to Stinkos here real shortly, but, Beavis and Butthead Season 1, every episode made me laugh at least once or twice. There was no boring episode at all. There wasn't, like, a huge drop-off in episode. You know, like, certain seasons of shows, you're like, that episode kind of sucked. I could not say that about this season of Beavis and Butthead. Just great all the way around. A 10 out of 10, which I rarely give. So make sure you check out Beavis and Butthead. Now, speaking of Stinkos.
What is it?
Stinko of the week.
Freak 5 has his Stinko. He said, remember his Stinko last week? His company had a kind of shitty way to show appreciation to the employees who aren't pharmacy techs. I came into work on Tuesday. There was a banner talking about appreciating the pharmacy support and 2 dozen donuts. And then he said, one shift has a lot more than 24 people who are pharmacy support. So, I mean, that is pretty shitty, man. I mean, we're not going to give you $1,500, but we'll give you donuts. That should quell your...
And not your, enough donuts to feed everybody.
Yeah, and then not enough. That's pretty, you know... So bad, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but, here's how much we like you. Not that much.
Yeah, yeah. He's a lousy son of a bitch, Freak 5 says. He's not just dumb, he's a lousy son of a bitch. Yeah, that's a Beavis and Butthead reference. I can't get over that episode, man. It's so good. So good. I'm dead still. Anyways, Breakman, your Stinko of the Week.
A couple of them. Really quick one. I guess it's been probably 7-8 years now. Rankin died. Just past week, Bass died now. So Rankin and Bass are both gone.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
You remember Rankin Bass specials? Probably the most famous of all of them, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know. Like, and then Abominable Snowman and all those. Yeah.
Jack Frost.
Yep, Jack Frost, yeah. That is sad, man.
Rudolph's Shiny New Year, I think it was called.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just sad. Rudolph was a fantastic movie. It holds up to this day, and
it's a reason why it's a Christmas classic. Yes.
Yeah. And the other one goes to the lax gun laws across this country, and I don't care what any fucking person says about gun laws. We have too many. We have too many. Well, if we do, then how come that St. Louis school shooter was able to get a gun? For one thing, in the state of Missouri, they don't have those red flag laws. So this latest mass shooting, only two people died. Thank God it was only two, I guess. Jesus Christ, in a school, I can't believe I'm saying it was thank God it was only two. But his parents called his mother because she found a gun in her home, and you know she's not the gun kind of person. But the police refused to take it away because he legally bought it, even though apparently he already had like mental problems and issues, and it was her house. If a cop comes to your house and it's your house and there's something in your house that you don't want there, and they tell you, there's nothing you can do about it. What the fuck?
Hmm. Yeah.
We don't have enough of these red flag rules. We aren't taking away people's guns, then no matter what they fucking say, you know. In some states they are, but other states. And when they say take away guns, these people are afraid of getting their guns taken away. They're not going to go taking away the guns of every average citizen. They're going to take away the guns of the people who were a danger to others or themselves, like this kid was.
Yeah, I'm glad you made that distinction, Brake. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So they obviously the cops didn't do anything with it. Finally, she was able to find somebody that they knew and got them to take the gun away. But at this point, he obviously got the gun back. We don't know how. Nobody's saying what happened. But he got the gun back and went on a killing spree. But this is something they talk about illegal guns. Most of the legal guns are either stolen or they're legally purchased and then sold. Mm-hmm. Like straw dealers or to your friends and neighbors, just like this kind of situation.
Or gun show loopholes that still gun exist. Gun show
loopholes, flea markets, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
These aren't being tracked in any way, and these guns just, they just float through the country. They get to the streets, and they get into other countries too, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, if you're telling me that gun law wouldn't have stopped that killing, you're being an asshole.
Yeah, I'm a Second Amendment guy, Brake, but I also realize that there are certain people that should not have guns, right?
Yep.
And I think the bare minimum is to have a background check and a psych eval. You know, and I think that the United States should pick up that tab. You know, I mean, I think that's owed to us. I mean, you know, it's built into the Constitution that we have a Second Amendment right to carry arms, although it does say well-regulated militia, right? Yeah. So I don't think that those laws would hurt the gun industry in any shape, form, or fashion. I think they would be just fine. I think it would keep a few more people from getting them, and it might just help reduce the amount of mass shootings that we have. I mean, I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but try to prove me wrong. You know, I mean, that's the whole point. It's the United States is a melting pot of ideas, supposedly, right? People and ideas. So, I mean, can we just try it? And maybe if it doesn't work, then revert back.
And we'll try something else, and then we'll keep trying until something works.
Keep trying. I mean, in reality, I mean, I know the easy solution is to say that if nobody had guns, this wouldn't happen, and it is true. Like, if you look at countries where, you know, the average, you know, gun is like 0.01 per person in a country, I mean, it just doesn't happen nearly as often, right? Look at Japan. I mean, they have like maybe one shooting a year, and that's kind of a rare thing, you know. I mean, and they and have
that assassination was a handmade gun, like the guy made it himself, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, and to boot, like Japan acted pretty quick. Are you guys still there?
Yep.
Okay. Japan acted pretty quick with legislation, and every time something like this happens, they, you know, they're on it. And our politicians are still struggling to fight about even the simplest of things, like you said, red flag laws break. It's like, it's not hard. It's not rocket science. Like,
people that should not own guns. Just there are. I don't care what anybody says. I am one of the people who should never own a gun.
Yeah, yeah. And I am. I think I would be okay with a gun, but I don't own one. I'm more of a pacifist, right? I'm a big Second Amendment guy. If you want a gun, go ahead, but go through the right channels, right? But me personally, I've become like a presence in the 1A community on YouTube. You know, I have another channel and stuff, and people are asking me all the time, why don't you carry a gun? And it's like, why would I want to? You know, I'm a pacifist. If I end up getting in any trouble, I don't want even the ability to shoot somebody and kill them. You know? I mean, as much as I can't stand certain people, I don't want to take a gun out and have that opportunity. Why would I want that?
Yeah.
You know? So, you're good point, Breakman, all the way around. What else you got? Yep.
That's it. Just those two.
Eric, your stinko of the week.
My stinko of the week goes to Florida. And guess what they did this week? Why not? Just today, the Florida Medical of Medicine Awareness or Medicine Advances ban on transition related care for minors. I'm going to read some of this. In a controversial and at times bewildering hearing Friday morning, a joint committee of Florida Boards of Medicine and Osteopathic Medicine voted in favor of proposed rule banning puberty blockers, hormone therapies, and surgery for transgender minors, mostly teenagers, but I'm guessing that it also includes 10 plus as well. But specific language for the rule was not written pending the next full meeting of the joint board meeting on November 4th. The hearing then ended in confusion among the committee and onlookers as committee chair Dr. Zachariah declared that the motion to craft the rule had passed, but gave no official vote tally. And this latest hearing is a result of a June report in Florida's Health Agency of Healthcare Administration declaring gender-affirming care to be, quote-unquote, experimental and investigational, which at least 10 scientists have misrepresented their work to promote a right-wing political agenda. And a vote held in August to update Florida's rules on transition-related care. Board members also voted to add restrictions to care for adult trans people. And I remember this happening, because I was paying attention, unlike a bunch of other people I could mention. Including longer wait times and additional paperwork to establish informed consent. Because adults need informed consent, apparently.
But I thought that Don't Say Gay Bill wasn't like just a start. Like they said that they weren't going to start targeting like LGBT.
Except they have, yeah. And now they're just strengthening those pre-existing policies.
Yeah, this is really sad. I mean, I understand the sentiment. Let an adult make the decision. You know,
it was never about letting the adults make the decision.
Yeah, I know.
It's about erasure.
No, it's about erasure, and I'm with you, Eric. I mean, I have somebody very close to me that's gay, and
I was arguing with my parents. I almost want to cut myself off the family because of this, or at least them, because they don't seem to understand the severity of the Don't Say Gay bill and like bills in other states.
It's a beginning to an end.
Eric, they can't see the parallels between it and the Black Civil Rights Movement or Nazi Germany.
Right.
They advertise it as they're defending the children from sex. We don't want children to talk about sex.
Yeah, even if I wanted to be charitable and say they're looking out for kids by protecting them from people who might commit acts of bullying and mistreatment by the school faculty, well then that's incumbent on the state to hire workers who won't do that.
Okay, let me stop you there.
And if you're going to you're basically just kneecapping children's ability to get the resources they need to understand themselves.
Yeah.
But that's not why they're doing this at all. They're doing this because it is erasure.
Yeah, I think
they want trans people and gay people out of the public sphere.
Yeah, yeah, and this
and they think that curtailing education is going to fix this. Kids are still going to experience these feelings, and now they won't have resources because they're part of families who are ill-equipped to understand these issues because they're not going to teach them about LGBTQ people. I know my parents didn't.
Right.
They didn't even talk about sex issues. I didn't even get sex ed in high school. Yeah. And the girls did, but I don't even know how effective that was.
Yeah.
Probably garbage.
Here's what I'm going to say about it, Eric, and I think you guys can correct me if I say anything that's wrong or anything, but it's funny to me. Like, it all starts with something that seems benign, right? Like you mentioned the civil rights movement. Like, it seemed benign. Let's separate blacks from whites, we'll even create different fountains, right? But the fact that it's like thinking that the thought was back in the day that black people were somehow going to infect white people with some, I don't know what, I mean, we talked about viruses earlier. I mean, it's so crazy to me, right? And you said something, Eric, that rang with me, might, right? Might is an assumption, right? You're thinking, your mind went there, right? That a trans person's gonna attack a kid, right? So your mind went there. It's not the trans people that are the problem.
Yeah, this
in 99% of the cases.
Okay, so trans people can't go in the bathrooms they want to because they might sexually assault someone.
But who thinks that?
Why would you think that? Because, of course, this is the whale poisoning that they put in where they thought gays were sexual deviants. But even ignoring that, I'd have to rebut with, well, why wasn't this never a concern with members of the opposite sex just walking in the bathroom before with cisgendered people?
Yeah.
Or you know, people of the same gender.
I mean,
why it sounds like if you're afraid of them doing this, why you should be afraid of everybody potentially.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think
this is what conservatism is. Predicating on the fear of
thought crimes
of a small percentage of what could potentially happen,
even if
it's a tiny percentage.
And here's my issue: how many times, Brakeman? I'm going to ask you this question: how many times have you went to the bathroom and wondered how many people in that same bathroom were gay? Did you ever wonder about that? Like ever in your life? Like when you went to go pee and there was a guy standing next to you? Did you ever wonder if that dude was gay or not?
I have to look over every time and check, you know, if they're gay or not. You know,
you you can tell just by looking over and looking at another guy's penis that, you know, if they're gay or not, right? While they're pissing, right? Yeah. I mean, it's the dumbest thing in the world to me to assume the worst in people, right? It's the same problem that I have with stranger danger, right? People thinking that everybody is out to get your kids, right? That's a very dangerous and stupid way of looking at the world because you're assuming that everybody you're going to run to, and then it bleeds over to your kids, right? You're going to teach your kids, oh, well, you know, don't talk to strangers, because I tell you what, that's how the world revolves. The world revolves around talking to strangers. How did we meet, guys? We were strangers at one point.
You can't make friends if you're going to not talk to strangers, because strangers become friends if you talk to them.
I mean, yes, Brakeman, that's actually a good point. You know, you just hope that nobody else is taking a shit so you can shit in peace, right?
Instead of telling kids to not talk to strangers, why don't you teach kids how to know when somebody's deceiving you?
How about how about just being kind to everybody that you run into, and if people are nice to you, you're nice back. You know, I mean, good old family values, right? And don't worry about whether someone's gay, black, brown, white, Chinese, whatever the case may be. You know, I'm sick of all the fucking phobias that people are. And you know what? It's not purely a Republican thing either, even though it's way more prevalent in the Republican Party. I mean, there's a lot of Democrats that are afraid of gay people and people of color and poor people and homeless people. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot to be done in both parties to rehab both parties. And in all actuality...
And as for as long as I've been alive, there's been a fight on the evangelical religious right to have theocracy in this country.
Right.
And it starts with Snopes' monkey trial and teaching of evolution in schools.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't
And that goes back 100 years ago. Over 100 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point.
Right. And it's strange, man. I mean, the big argument, I think I heard Herschel Walker, of all people, try to argue that, you know, how is evolution a thing because we still have apes? It's so dumb that these people don't know how things work, you know? It's like, you seriously still believe that?
You could show some of these people who are a little bit more reasonable than others, but they'll still deny you because they'll either move the goalpost by not accepting the sources that you give them, by discrediting the source because it's something they've never heard of.
Yeah.
Or B, they just won't agree with it and they'll give you a BS excuse anyway.
Yeah.
You can give too many of these people, you can give them video, proof and evidence. Well, for instance, look at the January 6th insurrection. We have video proof of MAGA, you know, breaking in, but too many MAGA people, no, those were Antifa.
Yeah, I know. And then, why are they anti-Antifa? Isn't Antifa short for anti-fascist? What, you want fascism? Is that what you want?
I think it's because the Republicans have sold them on the idea that even if they are anti-fascist, they're somehow terrorists, and terrorists have to be stopped at all costs, regardless of what their motivations might be.
Yeah. Well,
even though nobody within the Antifa movement has actually really committed terrorist acts,
right,
there might have been like one or two like rowdy bad actors, but that's not enough to poison the well.
Right, and then you always have the paid bad actors that will quote unquote take one for the team and make organizations like Black Lives Matter and Antifa look way worse than what they are. You know what I mean? Like, it's I'm not saying rioting is the right thing to do, but I mean, when you get pushed to a point of oppression where there's nothing else for you to do, I mean, what do you do? You know what I'm saying? Freak5 says in chat, oh yeah, no more Ask Breakman for me on Twitter. I'm deleting my account. Is this because of the Elon Musk thing, Freak5?
Going back to the trans things, like, so the idea behind thinking that kids are too young to, quote, not only understand what they're going through, the parents don't trust their kids to know what their feelings are on themselves, but you're also kneecapping their ability to learn about who they are. And even if you didn't do that and you didn't want them to get surgery, you're going to arbitrarily make them wait until they're all adulthood and potentially suffer the effects of gender dysphoria until they're old enough.
Yeah.
Well, and these you're going to really want to risk them committing suicide
because you feel
uncomfortable about what they want to do with their bodies.
Yeah, these are educational issues, Eric.
These are human beings are just numbers to them.
I'll say this for anybody who's potentially listening, because I might consider showing my mom this episode, because this is the subject I'm very passionate about, and it's not just because I'm biased, because I'm a member of the LGBTQ, being a non-binary myself. Right, sorry if you're finding out this way, but that's how it is.
Yeah, I know. But, it's, you know, I mean, Eric, I mean, you know, you have our full support, and there's a lot of people that have your back too, man. And we always
there are probably efforts to erase people like me too,
right?
And they won't accept me for who I am.
Well, I mean, we accept
you. And I could lose my job for being a non-binary if people got their way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I present as male because that's just what I'm more comfortable with. I mean, I don't feel like transitioning to female because I don't feel that way.
Right. And since when is it anybody's business but your own, Eric? You know what I mean? I mean, it should be between you.
It's the reason why I haven't changed the name for myself. I kept my parents' name because I actually like it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that you got to do what you got to do and what's best for you, Eric. And you always have a place here, no matter what. And you know that, you know. And I hate the fact that we're sitting here talking about these issues, And there's never any support for the mental aspect of things, right? I mean...
But anyways, back to what I was saying. It's like, it's not that adults don't think kids are ready. They are not ready for what their kids are going to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good point, Eric.
But I was saying, the gay bill, like, a part of it is they when they say, we just don't want them to talk about sex. Well, what about a kid who has, say, two gay parents? You've set, and the language that you've put in your writing has made it so they can't talk about their own personal lives.
Yeah,
like the sex bill was just the start of all of this, is what I'm saying.
And you know what? This actually this reeks of what Bill Clinton did in his presidency with the "don't ask, don't tell" bullshit.
Yeah, you know? It's basically that, but for everybody else.
Yeah, and it's terrible that you can't be who you know who you are. You know what I mean? Like it's just nonsense. Let me
or you know.
Everybody. Go to school and talk about his
it was only a few years ago that Trump actually banned transgendered people from serving in the military if they were out and out already.
Oh, and by the way, has Biden done anything to correct that? The answer is no. The answer is no. Freak says this will create troubled kids because they can't get the help they need, that will make them more vulnerable to the people who are going to abuse them. I agree. I only wondered the couple of times the gay next it complimented. He was like, I mean, he was backhanding complimenting you as he was looking at your penis through a microscope.
No, don't speak for me like that, Frank. That is not what I said to him. I meant the other guy said to him. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Anything else on that, Eric?
No.
I think you did a fine job of. Helping us understand here, Eric.
Just like if you're a group of parents who don't understand, then please take the time to not only educate yourself on this, but start listening to the people that matter instead of the authority government figures who are probably lying to you anyway.
Yeah. I think we listen to our politicians way too much, Eric. Great point, man.
Don't make up excuses like, oh, these people have an agenda that they're pushing, or we're just being alarmists. Because we were totally alarmists when Roe versus Wade was overturned, even though we told you this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a completely different conversation, but it's just a precedent.
Yeah. Okay, let me do mine real quickly. I mean, I don't know if you guys can tell from my voice, but I have a really nasty cold that I picked up, and I'm hoping to
know that would be the sneezing that would have gave it away.
Yeah, the sneezing or the little bit of coughing that I'm doing, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I'm just hoping to be okay by Halloween because I got a lot of food to make. If not, Bernie's going to be making lots of food on Halloween. And she's like, no. Voter intimidation sucks. I mean, I know I bitch a lot about the two-party system in here, but, you know, I don't think it's right for somebody to prevent another person from voting, or at least intimidate them into voting or not voting a certain way. So I saw a little bit of that going around, and I was like, what is this, the fucking 60s?
It's gotten worse than I think it's ever been, because now people are, like, taking down other people's license plates and putting the information up on the internet and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the license plates thing is a weird thing for me because, like, I mean, they're public records. I mean, anybody can look up anybody's, but I mean, it's just, you know.
And I read a report of a woman who was followed home, basically, by the people watching it, because they thought she was a poll, like a... what do they call it? A mule. She was a voter mule.
Yeah. And that's very dangerous. And you know, I mean, we have a big enough problem with the police in this country. We don't need it exacerbated by these pieces of shit, you know. So, and then also, finally, the Bayonetta 3 controversy got even worse. Helena Taylor, oh boy, you may end up.
I told you she lied last week. But,
yeah. I know.
But the thing she did. This week.
Yeah. Remember we told you that Helena Taylor was calling for a boycott of Bayonetta 3 and, you know, she wanted you to donate to certain charities? Well, some of those charities include anti-abortion billboards. And she's she had some J.K. Rowling, very pro J.K. Rowling things to say. We were just talking about the trans thing. Blue Lives Matter, Trump, Joel Osteen.
A fan of Joel Osteen.
Yeah, this is pretty much...
prosperity preacher lying shithead.
Yeah, Joel Osteen is a fucking special kind of piece of shit. And
he's a billionaire, so he's corrupt.
Yeah,
Joel Osteen is the kind of guy who makes me wish that hell existed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Because he would be right first and foremost. You know that episode, Breakman, that I always watch of Castlevania? It's called Monument, where the demons infiltrate the church, and then the bishop is there, and he's, you know, this is a house of God. And then the demon's like, you know, basically saying, you know, you talk about, you know,
it's,
I mean,
just, it's just a fucking building. I'm just,
right.
And there's no God here.
There's no, yeah. Your God pukes when he hears you say this type of stuff. And it was just a great episode, right? All the way around. Especially that fight at the end with all three, you know, of our protagonists. But the point is, if he was a character in Castlevania, he would be that bishop. And like you said, if there was a hell, he would be first to go there, you know? There we go. That's, Stinkos.
It's like you can't say conservative without first saying con.
Yeah.
Which is a shorthand for con artist.
You know, and an old school conservative.
And a Latin word for against. So yeah. That should tell you something.
Right. Well, look, I mean, if you're one of these people that believe in smaller government and all this stuff, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I also believe in people. And it's time to believe more in people than politicians.
I'm only the way I am today, ironically, because of my parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Why they didn't be the people they wanted me to be is beyond me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, goes without saying, dude. All right, let's move on to happier things.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
Brickman, you're sweet of the week.
I've only really got one. They're doing a major cleanup in the city. They've been trying to clean up the Ohio River. They've been removing cars and large debris from it. That's a good thing.
Oh, so. Cars. Any people been found yet in those cars?
Apparently the police are going to look in the cold cases with those cars and stuff like that. I guarantee those cops will find nothing because you're
going
to
look.
Yeah,
because
police.
Less than 2% of all crime is... I mean...
There's an effort, at least, I guess, on their part. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But I'm glad about the cleanup of the river. That's something that needs to be done across the country.
That's great. That's really, really good, man. Yep. All right. Eric, your sweet of the week. Did you have one?
Getting through the week, I guess.
Yeah, that's always a sweet of, man.
I had ice cream today, but sadly it's probably the last time I'll be able to go to Dairy Queen because they're probably going to close next week.
Oh, that sucks, man.
But usually how it happens here, because we don't have, the only Blazier is in Madison, and the other locations close for the winter.
Yeah.
So, like, the only other Dairy Queen would be, like, all the way in Nesher.
Yeah. No, Freak 5 says...
Conneaut, which are... way too far.
Yeah, Freak 5 says it right. They don't want smaller government. They want the government to leave them alone, but they want the government to bother people they don't like. Yeah, that's...
You know, it's an oxymoron, being fiscally conservative but socially liberal.
I know, it's so stupid.
It's not possible.
It's dumb. All right, my sweeto, and this is, I think, a first. We have our first RP Grinders sweeto Hall of Fame member, guys. Halloween. Right, Halloween is the greatest time of the year. Right, it is the only holiday where perfect strangers give gifts to other perfect strangers. Oh God, don't start that shit, Eric. It is the only holiday where you can go around and everybody accepts you for being someone else. We were trying to explain, you know, trans people a little bit, but think about that. When you're out there and you're watching all these kids in different costumes pretending to be somebody else, only imagine somebody that's in a costume that is somebody else, right? So, something to keep in mind. It's the only holiday that kids are allowed to be out in the middle of the streets. And usually it goes fairly well. Nothing really ever happens on Halloween.
Have you heard of the idea of trunk or treat before?
Yes, where people have candy in their trunks and
I didn't know about it until this year.
Yeah, it's big in California because people are kind of scared still of like razors and candies and I don't know, just stupid shit.
Because apparently they're doing that in the town area where my sister lives in Austin.
Yeah. Sweeto, Mrs. Freak's doctor was worried about her heart. Yesterday she had a procedure where they sent a camera to look at the inside of her heart, and there is nothing wrong with her heart. That's really cool, man. That's good news. Yeah, one part of her body that's working. What'd you say, Bernie? I'm sorry.
I said Arizona. It's really big. That trunk or treat.
Well,
my mom just went to two.
Yeah. It's a safe way of taking kids around. But, you know, I've always thought of Halloween as being one of the safest days. I mean, it's not nearly as...
The logic on Halloween. Like kids hit, pedestrians hit, and stuff like that.
There's
the numbers are a lot higher on Halloween.
Yeah, but like if you look at the drunk driving things on Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and every other holiday, it's way less than that. Like if it's
done on a weekday is what I was about to say.
Yeah,
because there's actually a movement going on right now where they're talking about moving ones in this city. They're talking about moving Halloween trick or treating to Saturdays.
Yeah, well, which to would me, be nice.
It makes sense because trick-or-treating is generally like 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, something like that. It's like rush hour. People are getting off work and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best time for kids to be out trick-or-treating. I think Saturday makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't have a huge issue with that, although, yeah, I mean...
It's always been Saturday here.
Yeah.
The Saturday before Halloween.
To me, it's like... It either way, it's not a big deal either way. I mean, it's not like... It's not like there's a huge spike in crime or anything, man. Like, it is one of the coolest holidays of the whole year, and it's definitely my favorite holiday. And I don't think we have any problems with naming Halloween a Sweeto Hall of Famer, right? I mean, do you guys have any issues with that?
I had a thought about this, too, is that the kids today do not know how lucky they are if they get that where their city changes Halloween trick or treating to the Saturday before or after Halloween.
Yeah, that's great. Halloween,
they can go to the city next to them and go trick or treating again.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, and then the kids in the other city can do that vice versa.
Yeah, see,
how lucky they are.
Freak brings up a great point. Razor blades and apples. Has any kid ever eaten a fucking apple they got while trick or treating? The answer is no, Freak Five. Unless you get
I like apples.
I do too. Unless you get one of those caramel apples, which I have received trick or treating before. So there you go. By the way, I think that's only happened once in history that somebody can point to that even makes any.
Has anybody ever given beets out because they're quote unquote nature's candy?
And by the way, there's no such thing as people handing out fentanyl on Halloween. Okay, you have to be on a lot of fentanyl to. To do that, you know how much
does fentanyl cost?
Oh God, dude! It's a little more expensive than the norm. You know, don't ask me how I know that. Anyways, let's move on to the culmination of our free for all.
It's a free for all. It's a free for all.
Before we go on, let me address that, Brickman. What about apples made into bongs? You know, the funniest story. Speaking of that, when Bernie Face first came here, she got her first experience of someone making an apple bong. Mm-hmm. And that was me.
Yeah. Isn't the master?
Yeah. I am the master at making apple bongs. It's pretty fun. But anyways.
Did you carve the apple out into a bong or what?
Well, basically, you can take like a pen, any normal pen, right? You take the top core out, and then you take your pen and just shove it straight down the middle, so that way you have a vessel to where the smoke could go down. And then you take that same pen and you make a tunnel to that tunnel in the side.
Wait, this is good for Breakman to get an what? Education. This is good for Breakman.
Oh, yeah, he's getting education right now.
He's
Yeah. So then you just pack the top of it. Makes a perfect little round place for your weed on the top of the apple, and you burn that, and you take the hollowed out pen and put it back into that hole that you made in the side, and there you go. There's a hole. Or if you don't have a pen, you can just use like some, you know, like stake type thing to make a hole straight down and in the side, and then you could just use the apple itself to smoke out the side of it. It's a useful skill, I would say, and one that Bernie was amazed with. So, anyways, let's move on. Let me pull up the bracket here. We are going to determine right now.
We need to have a new segment called Professor Branches.
We are going to move on to determine the greatest game of all time. Breakman, we only have four left. What do we got?
Okay. I guess let's just go ahead and start right at the beginning. Eternal Darkness, Frank.
Yes.
Versus... Oops, scrolled too far. Oopsie. Eternal Darkness versus Dead Space 2.
Oh, you're starting with me on the toughest one on the board, man. Oh, boy. Dead Space 2 versus Eternal Darkness. Two of the greatest, scariest games of all time, for sure. They definitely both deserve to be here. Oh my word, this is so tough, because Dead Space 2, I was talking to Bernie about it, and Dead Space 2 ratcheted up the terror level to a place that I don't think I've ever been before, especially when you're outside of the spaceship, and the sound design in that game is unparalleled. Like, you actually feel like you're out in space, battling these necromorphs that you can't hear which direction they're coming from, and you're all paranoid on the outside of that ship. I mean, it's just an all-time great, great scary game, and oof. But on the other side, you have Eternal Darkness, which fucked with your mind psychologically more than any other video game in the history of video games. The volume would turn up and down. Your character would move without you moving it at times. If your sanity got to a certain level, your head would just fall off, which happened to me and scared the shit out of me. What the fuck did I do? What's going on here? Did I get hit by something? I mean, it made you really think about what was going on in that game. Plus, it had a fantastic Lovecraftian story. That being said, Dead Space 2, in my view, should move on by the slimmest of margins, Breakman.
All right. Well, what about you, Eric? What do you think?
I'm going to have to go with Dead Space 2.
Oof.
Wow. This is an upset. I was actually going to say Eternal Darkness myself.
You were? Wow.
Yes. My reasoning being that as scary as Dead Space 2 is, and most of the horror of Eternal Darkness is, like you said, psychological.
Yes.
Like the monster scaring and such. But in Eternal Darkness, you weren't ever strong. Like in Dead Space 2, you can get some pretty powerful weapons.
That's
the
good
thing
reason.
Is, though, with Eternal Darkness, you can know when you replay the game again for the second time, you know what to expect and when. But with Dead Space, it's a constant struggle with very strong monsters.
Yeah. Yep, Dead Space 2 moves on, man. That's a shocker, because I mean, you guys know how I feel about Eternal Darkness. I think it's one of the greatest games of all time, period. You know, it's weird coming from that studio. I forget the studio,
Silicon Knights.
Yeah, Silicon Knights, because the leader of that studio.
It's the only good game they ever made besides the Twin Cities.
Yeah. All right, Dead Space 2 moves on, Breakman. What else do we got here?
Eric, Alien Isolation versus The Evil Within.
Alien Isolation. I mean, I don't have much experience with the first Evil Within or have played Alien Isolation, but based on what I've seen, I'd go over that.
Frank?
Another tough one for me here, because I think Evil Within is one of the most underrated horror games of all time, for sure. But Alien Isolation scared the shit out of me in a different way. Because when it says isolation, you are isolated. You are the one, right? You have other humans on ship, but they are not your friends.
Yeah.
And you run into the xenomorphs, and that first meeting with the xenomorphs is fucking terrifying. And from that point forward, you are basically playing a cat and mouse game, and at certain points you get caught when you never expect it, and it's the scariest fucking thing in the world. But just the aesthetic of Evil Within is fucking, and the atmosphere and stuff like that. Breakman, why don't you go first on this, please?
Okay, I'm having a tough time. I guess I'm gonna go with Alien Isolation just because of like you said, it can get you out of nowhere. You know,
yeah.
Just you can be running down the hallway and all of a sudden you hear like, you know, whatever the growling noise is. It's like, what? And then there's a fucking tail through your spine or some shit. Like,
yeah, yeah. I think I agree with you. Evil Within is definitely an underrated all-time scary game. And everybody should check it out. There's a reason it made it this far. That's the big surprise of this whole tournament, right? Is Evil Within making it to the Final Four? I think so, man.
Another thing with Alien Isolation is you're never really safe, you know what I mean? Like, the people can follow you, and if you're hiding, they're looking for you. If you're hiding in the locker, they can see you. It's like, fuck, come on, you assholes. Like, you're supposed to be computers. You're supposed to be stupid. Be stupid. Stop looking at me. Leave me alone.
Yeah. I saw that tweet that you did, Breakman. It was the funniest thing. I think I retweeted that, actually. But all right, so that leaves us with our final two, right, Blake? What do we got?
Darkness. Darkness. We're down to Dead Space 2 versus Alien Isolation.
I think, Blake, you should go first. Blake, you should go first.
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. These are both fucking scary games. I'd say the biggest difference between both of them, you are alone in both of these games. Like, you do feel isolated. You feel like you're going to have to fight it by yourself or escape by yourself. Whereas Dead Space 2, you're going to fight back and you're going to kill everything you see. Alien Isolation, you're going to do a lot of running away, hiding. You know, because, like, I've got a revolver, and that's not doing anything against the alien. Xenomorph's just like, oh, are you trying to tickle me? Come here, you. Let me show you my inside mouth.
Yeah.
And my acid spit. Oh, thanks, alien. Wow. Dead Space 2 has those baby heads, too. That's like, they're some of the creepiest fucking things I ever put in the video game. Shit, this is really hard.
That's what she said.
Mm. She did say that, you're right.
The silence is deafening.
No, I'm thinking, I'm sorry.
And these both involve space, by the way.
Yeah.
And in space, no one can hear you scream.
Yeah, you're both in a spaceship by yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the biggest difference about being by yourself is in Dead Space 2, like, you really are, there's no living people around.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Alien Isolation, there are living people, but they're doing their own thing, and, you know.
And creepy robots.
Friendly.
Yeah.
And those fucking androids. Goddamn those androids. Those are fuckers. But the monsters from Dead Space are some of the creepiest monsters ever put in games. I mean, the fact that you have to cut off their limbs and stuff like that was a definitely unique approach. I don't know. Which one of these games is scarier? I guess I'm going to go with Alien Isolation just for the fact that in Dead Space 2 you can get some really powerful weapons. And I haven't got anything powerful in Alien Isolation yet. I know there's a flamethrower in there somewhere, but I'm guessing it's not going to be like, get that and then I'm going to run through everything.
Oh, no.
Or in Dead Space, like, what you were worried about most was running out of ammo with your weapons. Yeah. Because your weapons could get pretty strong. Alien Isolation. Frank, what are you thinking?
Ooh, okay, I adore both of these games, and I agree with everything you said, Breakman. The only difference is those fucking outdoor missions, like when you have to go on the outside of the ship in Dead Space 2, And it's the scariest thing because it disorients you, right? Because first of all, you're like, you're kind of walking different because you're in the outside. Like, it's dead space, right? That's what it is. It's like, you know, you can't hear it. Yeah, the only thing you really hear is, like, the pop of your gun. Like, you don't really hear, like, how you would inside. Like, it's just this weird, it's sort of like you have, like, really good earmuffs on when you go outside, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't really, like, you know how inside Dead Space you get, like, audio clues to where the xenomorphs are coming at you and stuff?
Right.
You don't get any of that outside. You know, like Alien Isolation is scary in a way where, you know, you get caught, it's over, you know, and then you start over. But Dead Space, you're just like, oh, shit, man. Like, I'm fucking out here. I'm on this ship, and, you know, you got all these creepy monster designs. And when you're outside, those things come at you almost as fast. Like, they're creepy. For that reason, for the reason I just outlined, Breakman, this is another tough one, but I am going to go with Dead Space 2.
Wow, Eric, you are the tiebreaker.
Dead Space 2 versus who? What?
Alien Isolation.
Yes, we know we won.
Yeah, exactly.
Alien Isolation versus Dead Space 2.
And this is it, Eric. This is the scariest game of all time. And it all comes down to your choice.
I'm going to go for Alien Isolation.
Oh, man. I tried. But look, I'm not disappointed because I told you, Breakman, that Alien Isolation is one of the scariest games of all time.
It is the same reasoning I gave you last week for my choice, because I think games where you're disempowered are ultimately scarier than games where you can have the power to kill your enemies easily.
Yeah, so my argument didn't dissuade you then, or sway you then, you know, being on the outside of that ship.
Which is weird, because I voted Dead Space 2 over Eternal Darkness, but I voted it for other reasons. So.
I think we couldn't have gone wrong with either game. I think either game would have been, I would have been happy either game. And
yeah,
I think it's a worthy choice, for sure.
I mean, if I was picking the favorite, I would have picked Dead Space 2, because I like Dead Space 2 more.
Well, if we were picking my favorite, then Silent Hill 2 would have went all the way for me. You know, I mean, either that or Eternal Darkness. Eternal Darkness is probably my favorite on this list. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, call a spade sometimes, and Alien Isolation is now the scariest game of all time, you know. You know what we should do next month, Breakman? I don't know if you, maybe, I mean, you can no, tell me otherwise. The worst movie you've ever seen. Can we do that next month? Can we get a list of the worst movies ever made? And which one would you pick, Bernie?
What's that one stupid Moonfall?
Oh yeah, Bernie's Moonfall would be on Bernie's list.
November, or do you mean December? Because we got 5 weeks in December. We only have 4 in November.
What would we do for November then?
Well, we can do for November. It's fine. I didn't think we were going to do it both months, but if we're doing both months, that's fine.
No. We're not doing it both months.
We're doing 64 brackets 2 months in a row.
Well, you know, let's just, can we like break it down to 32? I mean, we can get rid of a lot of shit right away, right, Break? I mean, can we just do a 32 bracket?
This is the worst movies we've ever seen, so it'd have to be, all of us have to contribute to this list.
Okay, we'll do that in December then, because I hate Christmas anyway, so, and I don't want to really do a Christmas-related one, because I guess we could do the greatest Christmas movie all time, but I think it would be fun in December to do the worst movie of all time. So if we bring, what's 64 divided by 3? Like 31 each? No, 21. How about we give you, Eric and I give you our worst 20 movies of all time, and then you, if you have to throw in any others in there, like if there's like multiples, you can just, you know, find on the internet more. That would be cool, right? So what are we doing? What are we doing for November?
Okay. Well, if we're gonna do a big one in if that's gonna be 64 in December, we should do like a small one for November, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Small.
Yeah. How about we do, like, the greatest holiday movies of all time? Because there's not a lot, right? I mean, there's a lot of Christmas ones, but, you know.
Ugh, I don't want to really do that. Uh-huh. Yeah, like, do you really want to do a holiday thing? Let's do a game thing again.
All right. Do what are we doing then?
Villain.
Greatest villain in a video game? Okay, that's cool. 32 of the greatest villains go at it?
Maybe do that next October, then.
What?
Yeah, I don't want to do 32. I want to do 64 villains.
Okay.
Get her some villains.
All right, then what are we doing, then? Gaming-related. Like, what system is, like, doesn't have a huge lineup? Can we do, like, Gamecast? The greatest Gamecast games of all time? Not Dreamcast, not Gamecast.
Can Gamecast we do the games?
Yeah, like 32, the greatest. Because, I mean, there's really.
How about the worst arcade game of all time?
Oh, that's a good one, man. That's a good one. Let's do that next month. That's a great one, Brent.
That'd be harder for me because I don't have as much experience in the early days of the arcade.
Yeah, I guess.
That's fine. We'll pick up the slack for you. Me and Frank got discovered.
It's only a 32 game tourney break, or Eric. You'll be all right, man. You'll be all right.
I'll try not to put like early 80s games in there. I mean, there's probably going to be a few, but I'll try and make it like later 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, I mean it's that's a quick tournament. I think we would have fun with that, man. Let's do that, and then December.
I don't know my answer. Oh, fuck.
And then December. Is what? What did we decide December was? Like
64 worst movies. Our worst movie, our least favorite.
Yeah,
movies.
We picked 20. So you can pick 20 movies, Eric. I think one of them is clearly going to be on your list called Morbius, right? So I mean, it's not
Morbius, Ghost Rider.
Yeah. See, so there you go, man. And I will pick
Simpsons movie.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was so fucking boring and awful.
Okay. And then I'll pick 20 of the worst movies I've ever seen, and then Break will pick 20 and then add a few more as needed. And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right, man.
We're picking worst, not best, so you better not say Twilight, Frank. Okay.
Worst. How dare you, man. And thank you for giving me three movies off the top of my head, Break. That's awesome. All right. That's about it. Let's do our plugs. Break, man, plug away.
You can follow me at RPGrinders on Twitter. And soon, Break _ man will be back because Elon Musk is bringing the criminals back. He's giving us evil people power again.
Is he really going to do that, Break? Is he really going to do that?
Well, he's going to try. I mean, like, he might bring them back, but they might get banned because the regulations and rules are probably still going to apply.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Elon could afford to have incidents happen on Twitter and lose advertising dollars.
Well, he already addressed the advertisers, so, you know, I mean.
If I'm going to get banned next time, I'm going to fucking make it worthwhile. I'm going all out if I'm going to get banned. Yeah.
All right, Eric. What do you got?
You can find the written reviews I do on BostonBashBrigade.com or my audio reviews for games. Both of these are games related. But the audio reviews are on the feed, which is at rpgrinders.podbean.com. And if you like either of those and you want to support me, there's a link to my Patreon and my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG. There's just a link in my profile. And if you want to support me by giving me as little as a dollar per month or just a one-time donation of however you feel, how much you can give, that'd help out a lot. And if you can't, you can always tell me about talk to someone else about me and point them in my direction instead. I'd like to be able to do more like streams and stuff like that and get a better rig so I can actually play PC games without having to rely on my Steam Deck, because even it has limitations, it's only so powerful.
Yeah.
But I'm going to point out some trusted medical associations such as the Endocrine Society and the American Association of Clinical Endocrinology, are all about hormonal research and therapies and stuff like that. So we've got a lot of actual people who work in the field, not people who claim they're experts. Like, some of the people in this Florida hearing were dentists, had no business being there.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else?
And, you know, start paying attention to the actual reality versus what the political policy on paper is, and don't read things at face value. And like I said, you cannot trust members of the GOP. They have been proven to be liars and criminals. Just look at Ron DeSantis, who's obviously a criminal because he's committed illegal acts. We know this because several weeks ago, he basically kidnapped a bunch of legal immigrants seeking legal asylum and transported them to another state to make it their problem.
Yeah, yeah.
To make it look like he was dealing with illegals.
Yeah. All right, Eric, anything else you want to plug?
I'll plug trans rights, LGBTQ, all the way. Ever. Forever.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can follow me on any of the systems, RP Grinders. I want to thank Freak 5 for being in there as always. OX2, Alicidra, another TV viewer, Odyssea, Commander Root, Lizzie Beth, Juan Cabardo. I think that was the first time for you, Juan. Thanks for being in there. And Rubbing was in there. I don't know.
Also, there's the actual Mayo Clinic if you want, like, clinical studies and information.
Yeah. I don't know.
A number of other subjects as well.
I don't know if Rubbing is rubbing alcohol, rubbing his wiener, or her wiener. I don't know. But anyways, thanks for being in there nonetheless. Anything else, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah. And about Rodney Sanchez, he's being investigated, so that's just proof of criminality right there.
Well,
he'll get arrested because bad people always seem to get rewarded for bad behavior, or at least are unpunished for it.
Innocent until proven guilty, Eric, but I it's heading that way, and hopefully that's not the case. Breakman, what were you saying?
It's innocent until proven guilty if you're wealthy in this country.
Oh, also, yeah, also that's right.
No, look, I told you, this is a thing he actually did. He actually took a leak
from legal
people. So that's not innocent until proven guilty. It's more like innocent until we can actually provide irrefutable evidence.
Yeah, that's true.
But like I said, the company that he hired to do this was actually not even in business anymore. So they weren't even a legal group to actually do this illegal activity.
Yeah.
So,
well,
they might have been hiring mafia members to do this job.
Yeah. All right. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody.